WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
Presented as always by MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG12 on chat. If you have Amazon, find like a YouTube subscribe to our Prime Gaming, switch out by clicking the purple rectangle button. Boost. You can also use trade code Rock and Sock with Lins and Ward in a Fortnite app shop. Every game serves, we are hashtag Epic Partner. We're on early.
Way early.
Way too early to do this. We're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, the go-home to Wrestlepalooza. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Wood.
It's Monday night, y'all. You know what that means. We're here to talk all the wrestlings, all the events, and the road to Wrestlepalooza. And we had a fun show tonight.
It was an interesting show. Everything was good, but everything felt a little off. I don't know why. Crowd was lively.
I don't know either.
The crowd was lively. During the Punk and AJ and Rollins and Becky segment, they were really loud. And they were full of chants, which we'll get into. During the Cena stuff, they were really loud. And they were loud throughout the night. But something felt weird about this show, and I can't put my finger on it. Maybe it was the early start time throwing everything off. I don't know. Which it could have been.
It could be. I don't know. It was a little weird. It might have been the flow.
Yeah, the flow.
I think
felt
it's because
off.
they opened with Cena, but then they kind of had Punk and AJ in the middle, and I think it's they were trying to book around the football game, and you were trying to have your big names on when people were going to see them, like either beforehand or at halftime or towards the end.
Here's the problem. The game started. First game started at 7, so Cena was on at the start of the game, so it didn't really matter.
They were trying to compete, Rock. They were trying to compete.
I understand that, but no, on a normal week, that's fine, but because there's two Monday Night Football games this week, one started at 7. There's another one at 10. It's weird.
I think it was because of where specific segments fell. Because they were booking around the game, that could have also interrupted the flow. But yeah, I think it's just the fact that it's on early and it felt off.
I don't know, it lacked the hype for a go home, and that might have been it. Like the big segment that had the draw for the go home worked, but there was a lack of energy that was missing. I think.
Can I be really honest? I feel like for this event, and there's nothing like no offense to any of the names involved because they have some big names involved in this event, but like in terms of Wrestlepalooza, I feel like it's really hard to get hyped around it in general. Am I the only one that's like feeling that? That it's like we've had so many big events like back to back to back to back to back that anymore it's starting to feel just like it's another show. There's nothing special about it. It's just another show on another day. It's another event. And I know this will be big because this is the first show on ESPN. And so it will be exciting because I'm sure they're going to do things on the show to make it exciting. But for the build to Wrestlapalooza, it's just another show. I'm sorry.
I would disagree a little bit. There is specialness to it because of AJ Lee. But I think what takes away from it is the guy in the main event that just kind of
sucks all the air out of
some of the fans right now. And it's the looming Brock Lesnar. And I think that kind of throws it off because we'll start with it. John Cena opened the show and there was no confrontation where you thought there would be a confrontation to kind of send it home. You had Brock on SmackDown kind of just toy around with R-Truth, which was funny, but it really didn't set the table. And you would thought there would be some sort of verbal exchange between Brock and Cena before we got to Wrestlapalooza, and there's not going to be. So that kind of threw off some of the hype. John Cena came to the ring tonight. He talked about playing college football at Springfield, but he played offensive line, so he never made the paper. He got his ass kicked, continued to get his ass kicked. He had teammates, he had his niece there, he had family there, wished his niece a happy birthday. He said he has a tough hill to climb. Talked about how Alicia Taylor called him the last real champion introduction, and Brock wants to end it. Cena said Lesnar is intimidating, controversial, and damn near invincible. Fans started chanting, "Fuck you, Lesnar." And Cena's like, "Netflix, don't worry." They're saying, "Talk to Lesnar." And that's what we're going to do. He doesn't say no to fighting Brock after he attacked him. The fans chanted, "Whoop his ass." He said, "Yeah, could have said, I could have played politics." Saying no is easy. Fans chanted, "Thank you, Cena." And he said, that's why he says yes. He asked himself, am I afraid of Brock Lesnar? Yes, I am. Could I fail? Yes. Will I back down? Will I give up? Hell no. We will take the fight to the beast because that's what we do. He doesn't give a damn how many suplexes are in his city. I found it, Suplex City. I've taken your best shots for 20 years. Pointed to a fan sign that said, saying, his jorts are stronger than Brock Lesnar's jeans. So if he wants some, come get some. On Saturday night, because on SmackDown, Brock ripped his jeans doing the F5. It's kind of how it goes. Like, this was a solid promo from Cena, but it was where's the Brock? Where's the exchange? Where's the collision to kind of send us over the edge? It just wasn't there. And I think that's what kind of threw off the show a little bit. You kind of needed that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I think if you're, especially since this is the Cena farewell tour, like, I feel like you can get away with those antics with Brock for any other time with any other opponent outside, barring maybe WrestleMania. But like in this instance, because this is the very last time they're going to face, presumably, even though they had that face off on SmackDown, like, I feel like you should have had that one follow up with Brock on Raw as well, just to really emphasize that and send that home. Like, I know we don't want to see Brock. I get that. Trust me. I understand that. I'm right there with y'all. But in terms of the build, like, he should have been there and he should have been present and he should have been a part of it. Or you should have had something, right, to reemphasize that, like, this is going to happen because this is the final showdown. This is the very, very, very last time. So this should have, like, a lot of heat on it. And it just doesn't have it.
It's missing something. And you can't fix it because the next time we see Cena is Saturday.
Yeah. I think it's just the timing. Like, everything else with Cena has kind of had a little bit, like, especially for the bigger matches, they've kind of set up like a little bit of time for it.
No, it's not a timing thing. It's a promo thing. Every Cena match has had really good promos building to it, but Brock is not a promo. And which is why they're avoiding having them together for a promo.
Then you needed to give this more runway and you needed to do more physicality. Like, that's the other way around this. Like, you've had the runway with Brock because you had him come back at SummerSlam.
Right, and then they put Cena in a program with LA Knight because Brock was not going to go overseas for 2 weeks when WWE was there. So you can't build to France and build to Palooza at the same time. So you kind of, if you, I will say more of this for Thursday, but just a quick point of, if you look at everything they did for the build, it's a good build.
Oh yeah, Cena, it's a great build.
Cena, Brock returned, beat up John Cena. You teased that Brock Lesnar returned. Brock returned, beat up John Cena. Brock beat up Cena's his childhood hero, R-Truth, Ron Cena. And then Cena cut a couple promos along the way. The build, when you take it, when you take away the timing, the time of it, it's a good wrestling build. You just didn't have that verbal battle that Cena's been having with everybody to kind of juice it. And that's kind of where we're at. And we'll talk more about that on Thursday. Matches on this show. Go ahead.
But the promo was good. The Cena promo was good.
Matches on the show included Lyra Valkyrie taking on Roxanne Perez. Good match. Lyra would get the win, but the big story coming out of it, it was Raquel got tossed during the match. She came back out. It was 2-1-1 on Lyra until Bayley made her return to make the save for Lyra Valkyria. And then Bayley just started hugging people.
Is the hugger back?
But then later in the show, you hear Bayley in her locker room just yelling like she's talking to herself. Lyra opens up the door and Bayley's just sitting there in a black and white hoodie, which is smart of multiple personalities coming out, and kind of was pissed that Lyra came. All she was to come in was to thank her, and Lyra reminded her that there's idiots everywhere, and she stormed out of her own locker room. I liked it. I liked what they're doing with Bayley. I like how they're playing it off.
They're trying something with Bayley. They're kind of having her go a little bit off the deep end.
Yeah.
And you're having sort of an amalgamation of all her characters with the idea that eventually I think a new one is going to be born. I don't know if I want her to stick with the crazy gimmick, because that was kind of along the lines of what Naomi was doing, where it was the caution and she was just sort of unhinged.
Yeah, but this is more multiple personalities rather than just unhinged.
But you also have something similar going on in the Wyatt Six. And so it's kind of one of those along those same lines where they had like the Wyatt family at one point. Everybody take a shot, Wyatt family mention. You had like Sanity going on. You had a bunch of other like dark, gothic, creepy horror gimmicks going on at the same time. Like they tend to do this and it's becoming a pattern where it's they find something that works, right? Like they get a response to something and then they start duplicating that in different ways where it's just slightly different, that it's unique to the individual, but it's the same concept. And that's why it's kind of like, I would like to see a new character born out of this that maybe isn't completely unhinged. I don't mind that, but like, I don't want her to be a duplication of something else that's already in the product and it's done solely because it's working. You know?
Yeah, but I don't feel like it's duplicating something.
Not yet, but we haven't seen the final form.
Because right now it's not, so I think we're okay.
Yeah, right now if they keep this energy and they keep this up, this is good, this is fine. But like, again, like I said, we have not seen the final iteration of whatever this is going to be. So if it stays like this, great. If it goes a different direction, that remains to be seen.
Penta beat Kofi Kingston. New Day would get revenge later by attacking Penta backstage when Dirty Dom was being interviewed backstage.
They just needed to get their win back, that's all.
El Grande Americano beat Dragon Lee. There was one, not one, but two, but three El Grande Americanos.
You only get points for one.
There's no one. There's no way to get points anymore. I dropped El Grande.
I'm surprised nobody picked him up, honestly.
I mean, he's out there. Anyone can pick him up. But they all look familiar. Like, one kind of looked like Tyler Bate, and the other looked like Pete Dunne. I don't know.
It's the damnedest thing, isn't it? They just, it's facial stuff, guys. Like, you know, they're just finding twinsies of everybody that they don't have anything to do with. And so they're just putting them in a mask and, you know, just sending them out there as El Grande Americano. It's so weird.
So weird. Three lads playing a masked wrestler.
How about that?
Fun fact, there was a wrestler WWE had for a one-off appearance to fight JBL. Back in 2003, 2004, I think it was 2004, something like that. It was 2004. named El Gran Luchador. Fun fact that no one knew.
I think I remember that.
Happened one time. It's a random factoid. Anyway, there was that. We had a little setup. We had a little contract signing backstage. Stephanie and you signed their contract. They have respect for each other and they'll meet on Saturday for the Women's World title. And through it all, it's set up. Asuka was not happy and Kairi was there. Asuka said, Stephanie, you fight Kairi tonight. Cool. Stephanie was warming up. Rhea showed up. Said, whoever wins between you and Io, I basically says, I got neck. But it was Stephanie Vaquer and Kairi Sane, as would you expect, a really good match. Stephanie got the win. Io made the save afterwards. And then Io told Asuka afterwards, I'm doing this on my own. Asuka was not happy.
No, Asuka was not happy. But Io's had enough. She's tired of being in the middle.
Yeah. And to finish up with the Judgment Day, they were meeting in the clubhouse. They were all going to celebrate Dom until Finn was like, can we cut that? You know, Raquel and Roxanne had a bad night. We shouldn't celebrate anything. And then you keep getting help from Mount Grande. Like, Dom's like, Finn's like, what is he after? Dom's like, he just wants to show respect. And Finn told him, next time you want help, don't come looking for them. Dom said to told Raquel and Roxanne, he'll cool down. He'll come back. And then in walked Rusev, who says he is the next Intercontinental Champion.
So we have a challenger for Dom's title in Rusev.
We do. The theme throughout go ahead.
Wait. I'm not done. And there's drama in the Judgment Day. Finn has had enough.
For now.
But Finn has a jealous because Dom is Dommy Two Belts.
Finn only has one.
Dom has two. The balance of power has shifted and Finn doesn't like it. We'll see where it goes. Okay, we move on now.
The theme spread out through the show was what's going on with Jay, Jimmy, and LA Knight. They got broken up early on when Jay arrived. LA Knight just showed up and had to be pulled apart. They were still in his office and, you know, what do we got to do to put you guys on the same page and, you know, cool it and all the things. And LA Knight said, the only thing I want is to fight one of the bronze. And then Pierce is like, okay, you get the bronze tonight. The tag match, you need a partner. He goes, Jimmy. Jay wasn't happy about it. Then LA Knight told Jimmy, he said, I chose you to be my partner. He's like, you put me in a tough spot. He knew Knight would get his with the Vision Knight, but he can't be the partner. So he turns him down. Jay and Jimmy then start talking a little bit later. Jay told Jimmy that he had to say no to LA Knight. Jimmy's like, have to? Jay said nothing other than, you know, the tag match of Russell Pluto matter. Jimmy's like, I don't take orders from you. I don't see no Yule follow around your neck. So a little tension there. And it led to the main event of Jimmy Uso and LA Knight taking on Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker, which was a good main event, which Bron and Bronson Reed got the win. Jay made the save afterwards. And then Jay offered a handshake to LA Knight, and then LA Knight dropped him with the BFT to close Monday Night Raw.
The tension is a curious ad. I don't mind it. I don't mind the tension at all, especially between the twins.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's that, well, everything is done, hunky-dory happy, and everything is presumably forgiven for the whole, you know, bloodline stuff. There's still tension because Jay has struck out on his own and made something of himself, and Jimmy kind of got left behind a little bit. No offense to Jimmy, but like Jimmy stayed with the bloodline. Jimmy did his own thing and Jimmy's star is not on the same level as Jay's. And, you know, they're kind of teasing this whole Jay is going to become Roman thing, right? Like that's what they're kind of doing is Jay is going down that same path that Roman went down. And ultimately that's what corrupted Roman and he became, you know, the world's biggest asshole for 5 years. Or however long it was. But like they're doing this really subtly and really nicely that they're sort of teasing this between the twins where they're together but they're not, and then you have LA Knight being thrown into that mix as well. And there's just all this tension there, right? Which is really, really nice. And then you go into a match situation and it does play a factor. It does help tell the story, especially between the bronze.
Yeah.
Where they're good and they're tight and they're just a destructive force. And when you're not on the same page against something like that, things are going to happen and things are going to go wrong and it could cost you. And I like how they're doing that where it's like you're bringing the Usos back together, but you're bringing them in a way that it's not just, oh, okay, everything's forgiven. We're all happy now. No, there's still issues there. there's still problems there. There's like continuity in the relationship that's just really enjoyable to watch because it should be there, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like Jay with Roman. There should forever be trust issues between Jay and Roman just because of what happened between them.
Yeah.
That it's like Jay is like, I forgive you, but I'm never going to fully trust you again because you put somebody through what Roman did to Jay. And you never look at that person again the same way, period.
Mm-hmm.
So like forever more between Jay and Roman, at least in terms of their TV relationship, they should not be necessarily fully trusting each other. And a huge part of that was Jimmy, right? Because once Jimmy like jumped on board with Roman, because the whole story was Jay was forced to join the bloodline and Jay and Jimmy rolled up because Jimmy was injured. Jimmy rolled up and tried to save Jay, and Jimmy tried to fight for Jay and ended up losing because Jimmy threw in the towel, I think, or something to that effect. I forget exactly what it was, but both the twins were forced to join the bloodline. And then Jimmy got on board with Roman's shit, and Jimmy, over the course of the entire bloodline storyline, was a part of Roman's antics towards Jay, especially at the end with the ostracization, the isolation, the humiliation, all the Asians. But Jimmy was an active member in that. And in the end, Jimmy chose the bloodline over his own brother. And so, yeah, again, there should be problems there because it's like, yes, we're family. Yes, I forgive you. Yes, I love you. Yes, you're my twin. Yes, you're all these things to me. But you fucked me over hard. And I can't forget that. I will never forget that. And I will never trust you the same way that I did before, no matter what you say or do to me and with me. But the tag match was really solid. I mean, at this point, I think Braun and Bronson are on the same page. They're gelling really nicely as a tag team. They cut a really good promo earlier in the night where they looked like badasses. They should. They looked like badasses in this match. You had a lot going on. So yeah, I thought this was a good main event. But like Rock said at the beginning of the show, it felt a little off. I think it just lacked oomph in general, you know?
Yeah, a little bit. We have one angle left to talk about.
Okay.
Out came the world champion and the intercontinental champion, the power couple, Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. Seth does the grand intro for himself and then one for Becky. And then Becky's like, they're all chanting for Punk's name. Then they start chanting for AJ Lee. Becky's like, I have a lot to say about her, but I won't talk behind her back. I'm not CM Punk. Out came AJ Lee with CM Punk. Punk's like, hello, everybody. I'm AJ's husband. We got an AJ's husband
it's
chant.
Quality. It's a quality, goddammit.
Mm-hmm. He said he wouldn't waste time with an overcompensating introduction of who she is. Punk wondered which one of them was the leader of their team. He didn't need to speak behind Becky's back because he just didn't know what to say. Look at you goofs. And then we got a goof champ because they're all dressed in leather. He said they had listened to two crappy songs while they came to the ring, but he had no problem putting Cult of Personality on the shelf so his wife could light it up. Punk asked if Rollins and Becky would let their egos get in the way at WrestlePalooza. Rollins said Punk is the most selfish human he's ever met. A shut the fuck up champ broke out. Becky started yelling at the people. Rollins said he would give Punk credit. I know, it's weird. He's giving Punk credit. He said, he points to AJ and he's like, this is the best decision you ever made in your personal life. He said Punk would regret introducing AJ to all this for the rest of his days. AJ's like, you're the one who brought me back when he used your wife as a human shield. Becky's like, I've read your book and I have some notes. And you wrote extensively about the damage to the neck. Becky calls AJ not an asset, but a liability. AJ in retort retorted, I didn't read yours. You're like, I don't know how my neck's going to hold up. But I won 2 titles despite my damaged neck. You should be worried that she doesn't know what she will do next. She could be a little bit erratic. She's a Puerto Rican from New Jersey. Who knows what she you know? She could shift someone at any point. Who knows? You just can't plan for something you can't predict. Rollins like, you know, you don't think I could handle you? Little girl, you're not wrong. I may not be able to predict you, but your husband, I can read him like a book. And let me tell you something you may not know or want to believe about your husband. He has a nasty habit of leaving when things let him down. So this Saturday, when my wife rips you into shreds, you better hope to God he doesn't leave you too. AJ slapped Seth Rollins. Rollins is like, I would never put my hands on a lady, but thankfully I have someone who would. And everyone's looking at Becky. Becky's like, me? Like, yeah, you. And then Becky bails out of the ring, and they're blaming each other. And then Becky starts to leave, and Rollins gets back in the ring, pie faces CM Punk. He starts chasing Seth Rollins around. Becky returns the ring and left AJ Lee laying with a manhandle slam to end the segment. Some really good things you can't tell by just the verbalness of the thing was AJ's expressions throughout the entire promo. Her movement, her facial twitches were so on point. Every movement she made, every little side eye or little scrunching of the face, just everything she did was on point, selling everything. She looked erratic. She looked a little bit crazy. And she looked like everything, like she could snap at any point and just go ham on Becky Lynch. Or Seth Rollins at that point.
Go for Seth.
She sold it. Becky and Seth. This was a really good segment. This sold the match. Continued to sell the match. Crowd was really hot. All their chants were great. Kind of threw the... And that's the one thing it did. The one weakness of it was the chants threw off the timing of all their verbiage that they had to get out. But it was really good. You can't stop the crowd. You just gotta let them do their thing and then finish where you're going.
No, it's like she never missed a beat. She never missed a step. She's back. She's back fully. She's committed. You can tell. And you're seeing what made AJ special mm-hmm. in terms of both in her era and in the modern one. And the fact that she's shining even brightly in the modern one and she's being given that opportunity is just utterly fantastic. And just, I'm excited to see this. I'm excited for this match. I'm looking forward to it. And the promo was on point. It was fantastic. She and Punk both. There's a natural quality, which there should be because they're married. But sometimes it can come off as awkward, right?
Yeah.
Again, when you do like married couples and they aren't necessarily connected on TV, it can be weird. This isn't weird. There's a natural quality between all four that works, especially in an adversarial sense. I like the snarkiness between, you know, AJ and Becky and Seth, and, you know, then you have Punk there too. The whole I'm AJ Lee's husband thing. Make that a shirt, AJ Lee's husband.
It's probably coming at some point.
But just have it for him. Don't put it on sale. Just have him wear that, AJ Lee's husband. But like, just the whole thing was really good. This was a high point of the show for me. I very much enjoyed this.
So it'll be fun to see what happens when they meet on Saturday.
But it will.
That was Raw. Solid. A little disjointed, but effective.
Very much.
Thursday, we talk about WrestlePalooza on the Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. We'll have WrestlePalooza. It's the Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WallTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, another edition of CB Radio. Sunday night, they review WrestlePalooza at 10 p.m. Eastern, and we'll be back next Monday night. Around the same time for the Rob Poe show. Very weird. At Wild Talk Radio, it's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. Or chat if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple button below the screen. You can use credit code Rock and Sock or
Lynn's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop. And that's very weird to see an ESPN app for WWE commercial during Monday Night Football because we are hashtag Epic Partner. that was just weird to see. Anyway, go on.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at LynnsWard, LNSWRD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/LynnsWard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@LynnsWard. And you can follow me on TikTok at LynnsWard0.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack and right back here every Monday night for the Raw Post Show. Long airwaves. Blow out talk. Radio Network. War dance, a victory step. A boss stance is a gift, and you insist it's my rep. John Cena trademark, y'all are so-so. And talk about the bread you make, but don't know the recipe for dough, though. Aiming guns in all your photos, that's a no-no. In this pop, your lip lock, your big talks are blatant no-so. See what happens when the ice is... WildTalkRadio.com.